All right, today we are starting on a new series of lessons. This is the second part of the lessons we began this past May, and it's entitled Responding to God's Faithful Intervention. And it's a study in the minor prophets. And if you'll remember, the minor prophets are, the only thing different about them is there's just not as much volume, okay, as some of the major prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and ones like that. And these men of God stood at a delicate time for Israel, trying to teach them some things about the Word of God, about their sin, and how that they needed to respond to God. God was trying to get them to repent of their sin so they didn't have to go through judgment. But they continued to refuse. They continued to turn away the chastening hand of God. And these men stood bravely and boldly to teach them that, you know what, there are consequences for sin. There are consequences for sin. And we want to look at some of this today. I want to show you today the lesson. This lesson, lesson one in this series, is entitled God Gave Prophets. Now, a prophet was a man of God that preached to them the message of God. And that man was to be used of God in a great way to speak the words, "Thus saith the Lord," and to let the people know what God had to say about the conditions that were going on. And if you look at this, we're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy today, the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, and that's going to build up to the minor prophets we're going to look at. But the key verse for our lesson today is this. The theme verse is this, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 19. And it says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." Amen. In other words, that person is going to be accountable, amen, unto God. Amen. Folks can turn away the message. They can turn away the man of God. They can say, "I don't want to hear it. I don't want to have anything to do with it." But they're still accountable unto God for that message. People come back and they say, "Well, I wasn't at church when the pastor preached that." Well, two things. Number one, you should have been. If you could have been and you should have been, you ought to have been, okay? All right? But number two, listen to me now. Number two is this. Whether you chose to come and hear it or not, God still holds you accountable for that message. He holds you accountable. And you know what? In school, okay, if you're not in class, you are accountable for going back to that teacher and finding out, what did I miss and how can I make it up, okay? Danny, last year, when he had his appendix out, we rushed him over and we got his appendix out and brought him back home, and he was not able to go to school for a few days. But he thought, "Boy, no homework, no homework." I said, "Danny, no, it doesn't work that way." Now you've got what you've got now, plus you got to make up what you didn't get before. So he didn't like that. He didn't like that. But you know what? We're accountable for those things. And God holds us accountable. He holds us accountable. Whether we take time to listen, whether we refuse to listen or not. And I want you to think about something. If we choose to walk with the Lord as we ought to walk, we will not run with the world. If you will walk with the Lord, you will not run with the world. There comes a point in life as a child of God, you have to choose how you're going to live. Some Christians like to live close to the edge. They like to hold on to the world while they're reaching out to stay with God. And the two don't work. All it's going to do is pull you to pieces. That's all it's going to do. It's going to pull you to pieces. You're either on one side of the fence or you're on the other side of the fence. And so what God did to help his people to know what he wanted them to know, God gave prophets. God gave men that would preach the word of God and tell the people what thus saith the Lord. As you know from Israelite history, Jewish history, many of those prophets were mocked and imprisoned beaten, killed, put to death, because the people did not want to hear what God said. And folks, that's where we're living today. I think we're living that same type of atmosphere, that same attitude of mind today. Folks think, well, I don't want to hear what God has to say, because if I don't hear it, then I'm not accountable for it. Yes, you are. Because God has given men of God, God has given pastors, churches, Sunday school teachers, people that you work beside that are Christians, and you need to listen to the Word of God. And they need to listen. And you know, I'm thankful. I'm going to say this. I'm thankful to be a father. I'm thankful for that fact that I'm a dad. Okay, I'm a father. I thank God for giving me that privilege, that opportunity. But you know, and it may seem strange to you, I've told you this a couple times, I usually try to give my wife a card on Father's Day. I always try to give her a little card or a little gift or something on Father's Day. He said, well, why in the world did you give her a gift on Father's Day? Because I couldn't have done it without her, okay? That's just the way it is, okay? You know, in spite of what they teach in the world today, okay, I am very thankful that men cannot have children, amen? Yes, rough enough paying for them and raising them, amen, let alone having them too, okay? But you know what? I thank the Lord for the privilege and the opportunity to be a father and to be able to love my children. And now I've got grandchildren and try to love them and train them up in the ways of God and try to encourage them. And I love my children and I only want the best for each of them. And I'm thankful that they love me as well. Every morning, Heather will call the house or she'll call the cell phone and we'll talk to her a little bit before we come into work. And I was talking to Stephen this past week, and just to be able to talk to him, we very rarely get to go down and see them. You know, they're 400 and some odd miles away sometimes, and depends on where they're at and what they're doing. But you know, I love to be able to have the time to spend with them. And you know, as you search the scriptures, you'll see how God always provided the very best for His chosen people. He gave them His best. And I'm talking about the Jewish people. He gave them His best. And if you'll also notice with scriptures, as God gave His children the very best that He could give to them, the devil was always there to offer them a plan B, okay? Plan B. And say to them, well, listen, if you don't want to do what God says do, you can always do this. And that's what the devil's been doing since the Garden of Eden. He's been offering a plan B. Why? Because he wants to get between God's people, his creation, and God. He hates God. And the only way that he can get back at God is to get back at him through his people. Now, here, we're talking about the Jewish people. God had a plan for the nation of Israel. He had a plan for them. And you know what? Many of them remain blinded unto this day. They're blinded by sin, by selfishness, by the things of this world, by the devil's plan B. Okay? They're still blinded today. But oftentimes, when the devil presents his plan B, he does it through men who are actually wolves in sheep's clothing. And today, it seems like in our world, there are so many churches. And you watch it all the time. You see it all the time, these TV evangelists. And many are standing up today, and they don't want to talk about sin because people are dealing with so many things today. They don't need to be talking about sin. That would offend them, okay? I wonder if they will be offended when they stand before God and God says, depart from me, for I never knew you. But I went to that man's church. I went to that man's church, and he told me it was all right. I could do this and do that. Boy, I would hate to be in that man's shoes when those people stand before God. And you know what? I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to offend anybody. But sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a reproach unto God. Sin is a reproach to any nation. And folks, if we don't realize what sin is, we'll never know what to turn away from. God wants us to turn away from our sin. Israel had rebelled against God. And then to make it worse, they had false prophets that rose up among the people. And if they pleased the people, then they felt that they were doing a good job. And I'm going to be honest with you. I remember working in supervision, okay? And I worked in an industry. We trained blind people, okay, to do different jobs for the government. Or we made products for them, okay? And we'd have to engineer jig fixtures and things like that to make it safe for a blind person, a legally blind person, to do these jobs and still put it out at a good price and be able to compete with other outside industries and things. And we had a sewing section. We had some ladies, and I'll be honest with you. I told my wife this, and I'll tell you ladies too, okay? Ladies, I love my wife. I love her. She's the best little wife I ever had. Love her to death. But I would rather supervise 500 men than 50 women. It just ain't worth it. It's just not worth it. We had a sewing section, okay, that they sewed different items. And with the sewing machines, these jukies and consos and Singers and things like that, you need to oil them up in the mornings, get them oiled up, make sure everything's working well with it before the crew comes in. And that way it saves you production downtime, okay? It's preventative maintenance. And man, they had a rumor going around because one woman saw me oil another woman's machine twice. They had a rumor going around that we were having an affair. And then we had a blind woman that called my wife one day because I went out to lunch with a blonde-haired lady. And I did. I went to lunch with a blonde-haired girl. And this blind woman calls my wife and says, I saw your husband at the restaurant with a blonde-headed girl. Well, come to find out, it was my sister. My sister lived up there, and she met me for lunch that day. And we just walked up to the restaurant and got lunch, and a blind woman started a rumor. And you ask my wife about it, she'll tell you. And my wife told her, said, yeah, I knew about that. I knew about that. So, but folks, listen, I would rather, what I had to do was determine, I only had one person I was accountable to. It wasn't those 50 women sewing on the sewing machine. My boss, I had to make sure that I was getting stuff done the way he wanted it done. I couldn't please all these folks. I didn't want to even try because there's no way that you could do it. And folks, listen to me. It's the same way with serving God. I have one person to please. One. That's God. Pastor Belcher has one person to please. It's not the deacon board. It's not the trustees or the school board. Listen, it's God. And if he's right with God, and those deacons and trustees and everybody else are right with God, then everything there will be right. But if they're not right with God, that's where you end up with problems. And these people didn't want to be right with God. They liked the sinful world. If you'll remember, when Joshua spoke those words in Joshua chapter 24, and he told them, he said, now choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods that your father served, okay, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. They had seen that these were false gods, and yet they toted them around. They carried those false idols around with them as a plan B, in case God doesn't give them what they want. And Joshua said, you need to choose today who you're going to serve. But he said, let me just tell you right now who I'm going to serve. But as for me and my house, he said, we will serve the Lord. And that's where these people did not yet have it together. And then the thing that really made things worse was when those prophets turned against God and they served self and they served the people. They tried to give the people what they wanted. And boy, what deception and foolishness the devil can throw out in front of us. You know what? I can't always please people. I try to do my best to keep peace and to try to help folks. I try my best to do it. But you know what? As much as I may try, I'm still going to let somebody down somewhere along the way. And you know why we do that? Because the best of men are still only men at best. We've got to choose today, folks, who we're going to serve. We've got to choose today what we're going to do with God. I choose to trust His Word. God, because He loved His people, He sent men. He appointed men. He called them prophets, Moses being one of them. And you know how it got with Moses? The people made him so mad that Moses struck the rock twice and God would not let him even go into the promised land. Now, he could go up on the top of the mountain and look out across it and see it. But at 120 years old, when he still had all of his strength, he could climb the mountain, okay, to look out over the place where the people were going to go into. God said, but you'll not go into it because you let them get the best of you. I don't want to do that. And I don't want you to let the people around you, those folks that still want to live for the devil, those folks that want to always offer up a plan B, those folks that want to live close to the world and still say, I love Jesus, while they're holding the devil's hand. Listen, you don't need to let them cause you to miss out on God's blessings. God's people had to suffer because the majority of them failed to see the importance of loving and serving God. And here in this passage, Moses talks to the people how that God is going to send that prophet. It's a capital P. And if you'll remember in John chapter 1, the scribes and the Pharisees came to John the Baptist. You remember this when he was baptizing? And they asked him, art thou that prophet that would come? And he said, not me. It's not me. I'm not even worthy to take off his shoes, to unlatch his shoe latchets. But there is one coming. It's going to baptize you with fire and power. And later that next day, when John saw Jesus walking out amongst people, he pointed to Jesus. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. These men of God were to point folks to God's prophet, God's promised Messiah, and let them know there was hope coming, peace was coming, the Prince of Peace was coming, and His name would be called Jesus. Now, in the lesson today, we want to see how that God does without doubt. He has a perfect plan. He has a perfect will for every person. And He wants His perfect will revealed to each person. We find out the perfect will of God through the preaching, hearing the preaching of the Word of God, through the reading of God's Word, and through the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us, pointing us out to say, hey, thus saith the Lord. Hey, you just heard that, Pastor. Man, that's what God said. You need to be listening. And listen to me. You say, well, preacher, I don't know what to do for God. I don't know what God's will is for my life. You'll never know until you ask. And if you're not looking for it, you won't find it. Many Christians today are not looking for God's will. You know why? Because God has been so good to them already, they don't think there's any more. The things of this old world can be taken away from us in just a heartbeat. Literally, in one heartbeat. We can lose everything we've got. But you know what? I'll never lose Jesus. And He'll never lose me. Amen? And what God wanted these people to know was, listen, I have a plan for you. I want you to know I love you. I want you to be examples of my great love and power amongst these wicked nations that you're living among. I want them to see something different in you so that you can bring them to me. And sadly, what happened was they looked at the outside world and they said, oh, wow, look at all the things that they've got. That guy's got two wives. Dumb, dumb, dumb. That means two mother-in-laws, okay? Hey, listen. Oh, look at all the things they've got. They don't go and worship the temple or at the temple. Boy, look at all the things they've got. I remember my son asking us, Daddy, why can't we get a boat? And he loved to fish in a little boat. And I told him, I said, well, Stephen, honey, number one, I can't afford it. I said, number two, when would we use it? And he said, well, we could use it on the weekend like everybody else does. I said, oh, okay, well, okay, if that's what you want to do, then we'll just give up our bus route and we won't visit on Saturday. We won't go and win people to Jesus on Saturday. I won't drive that bus on Sunday morning, won't teach Sunday school class, won't preach in the junior church, won't preach at the rest home on Sunday afternoon. And he looked at me and said, never mind, Daddy, we won't get a boat. I mean, he sounded really down about it, but you know what? I'd rather have Jesus than anything. And I may never have a boat. I've got one. I used to play with it in the tub when I was a little boy. But, you know, listen, the things of the world don't last. They're temporal. They're temporal. Even the newest, fanciest cars get rust. They still need gas. And the new ones today need the high test gas. You know, you got to pay $5 a gallon for. And unless you get an electric car, and then you can only go a couple hundred miles with that and find another place to plug in. God wanted them to understand. He had a plan for them. I like what the psalmist David said in Psalm chapter 86, verse 11. He said, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. And then, again, the psalmist prayed this in Psalm 143, verse 10. He said, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. And Jesus simply put it to his disciples this way in John 14, 15. And he said, if you love me, there's the big question. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Do what I said do. Hey, listen, is that not what we teach our children, our grandchildren? Listen, if you love me, just trust me. Trust me. I know what's best for this. Trust me and obey. And you know what? God blesses. So I want you to look at it this morning. I want you to look at why God spoke to them. He showed them the pagan practices of the people around them that they, the Jewish people, had adopted in their own lives. Now, I want you to look at this. First of all, I want you to see the detestable customs. The detestable customs. God gave these warnings to his people so that they might avoid the pagan practices and customs of the people that were living in the land of Canaan. He gave them warning. He told them what these people were doing that was wrong and it was detestable in the eyes of God. And he said, don't do it. Don't go near it. Don't go around it. Don't do these things. Well, what things, God? Well, let me show you. And then God said here, look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse number 9. God tells them here, he said, when thou art come into the land. Now, this is the land of promise. This is the land that God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the land that for 40 years they wandered all around because those folks rebelled against God. And God said, for every day that the spies were in that promised land and you turned my blessing away, I'm going to put 1 year of punishment on you. So for 40 days that the spies were there, the 12 spies were there, God said, okay, for every day you're going to have to wander in the wilderness for 1 year. Until your carcasses are dead. The buzzards eat you. And for 40 years they had wandered about. And now they're getting ready. The children and the grandchildren of those folks are now getting ready to go into the promised land. Everyone that was 20 years old and upward died. And were not able to go into the promised land. Now God tells them, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. And then in verse 10, look at it. He identifies those specific pagan practices and customs. And God said, there shall not be found among you, look at this, anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. They gave up their own children. They let their children die, be burned as a sacrifice. They offered them up. You know what? The world has offered up, what, some 60 million of their babies since the early 70s to have what they wanted in this life, their way. And folks, I'm telling you, there's coming a day of reckoning. And God's going to hold this nation accountable for their sin. God told the children of Israel, he said, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. Look at this. Or that uses divination. And that was referring to the foretelling of truth, of future events by means of either natural or unnatural forces. Witchcraft. Okay? Ouija boards. All this mess. If you go down here, the road as you're going to Finksburg, there's a place on the left-hand side of the road that's got a big sign out. It looks like a hand. I think it says Palms Red or something like that. All right? They're supposed to be able to tell the future and tell all these things that nobody else knows. I ding-dong double dare you to go down there and ring the doorbell, and they come out and say, who is it? If they were real, they'd know, okay? All right? They're not real. They're not real. Hey, listen, God said stay away from them. He said, or an observer of times, those soothsayers. We looked at that back in Micah chapter 5 in our previous lessons. They would try to control the people and tell them about future events through the power of Satan. Okay? Witchcraft. All kinds of stuff. God told them there in Micah chapter 5, if you look back at it, he said that he would cut off witchcrafts out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. He didn't want them to be around that. Then number 4, look at it, or an enchanter, referring to one that determines the future by interpreting omens like the flight of birds or the entrails of a animal. You know, you cut them out and lay them out a certain way, and then the entrails are supposed to tell you the future, explaining the future by the flames and a fire and all these things. Number 5, or a witch, which often referred to in the Bible as sorcerers, okay? They tried to control the pagan gods and even the future through various incantations and spells. You say, well, preacher, we don't do that nowadays. I looked up this week, last week actually, when I was doing the lesson. There are more programs on TV today, and I'm glad I don't have it to watch it. There are more programs on TV that deal with witchcraft than you could imagine. Let me name you a couple of them. Bewitched. That's an old one, okay? Bewitched. There's a new one called Good Witch now. Good Witch. Charmed. There's another series called A Discovery of Witches. And The Mayfair Witches. The CW Legacies. Disney. Yes, Disney. Okay. The Children's Channel. It's called Disney's WandaVision. Deals with witches. Sabrina, the teenage witch. And there's a bunch of others. They had the top 20 listed on this website. And they're all coming through TV programs. And you know what? They showed little clips and pictures of these, most of these. And most of these are pretty young ladies that get your attention and draw you under them through their good looks and their witty humors and all that stuff. And God said, stay away from it. We've got to learn today. You and I as Christians have got to stand up and say, either this is acceptable to God or this is unacceptable to God. And before you say it or write me a note and say, well, preacher, you just old-fashioned. No, I'm trying to be biblical. And I'm trying to teach you there is a difference. And the devil is subtle in what he does today. Very subtle. And he wants us to be deceived. And he wants us to get so used to these things that we say, well, what's the harm in this? You wait till you see your little granddaughter going around with a little wand trying to cast a spell on somebody. Or turn away from God because they don't have time for that. Folks, the devil is a deceiver. And we need to be aware of how he's doing it today. Number six, he said, I don't want any of you to be around or have any form of anything to do with a charmer. Verse number 11. That refers to somebody that would cast a spell in order to bind people to their own will. A charmer. Number seven, or a consulter with familiar spirits. That's those people that tried to act as a mediator, okay? That have everybody come out and everybody hold hands and ooh and chant and carry on. And then you're supposed to see visions of people that were dead and bring them up and let them tell the future and what you ought to be doing or not doing and things like that. Okay? Consulters with familiar spirits. Or a wizard. Those who could supposedly communicate with the spirits who had died in order to determine the future. God said stay away from them. Or a necromancer. That's one who could supposedly call up the dead in order to predict the future. You remember who did that? King Saul did that. You remember that? He went to the witch of Endor. Okay? He went disguised because he knew that God didn't want him doing it. But he went disguised. And he went to that witch trying to bypass God's unfailing word. And boy, it scared that witch to death. Listen to me. God said, stay away from it. These are those abominations I said to stay away from it. The practices. Then I want you to look at verse 12. You're going to see the punishment for their abominations. God said, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. An abomination is something that is not pleasing unto God. And folks, I want to be pleasing unto God, don't you? I want the life that I live to be pleasing unto God. I want to be right with God. God said, all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. God said, listen, I will drive them out. Just don't you try to be like them. That's what God was telling them. Willful sin and disobedience in God's word always brings forth consequences. It brings forth consequences. It brings forth a severe chastisement from God. And listen, many times there's punishment that is very, very painful that the person has to go through because they willfully continue to do what God said, don't do this. So I want you to look at this. Number C, I want you to see God's expectation. What did God expect from his people? Well, look at verses 13 and 14. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 13 and 14. God tells his people, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. Now, before you get all in a tizzy here, God said, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. That does not mean to be without sin. But that means to be in complete obedience unto God's word. He wanted them not to let one of those things that God said, don't you do it. He didn't want them to turn and do it anyway. He wanted them to be mature in his word. He wanted them to be obedient. Why? Because the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. Why did we keep our children away from certain other kids that always got in trouble? Because we didn't want our kids getting in trouble. And sometimes we had to say, you can't go over there. You can't be around that. If they do this, then I expect you to come right back home. Don't you get yourself in trouble now. Yes, sir, Daddy, I understand that. God expected his people to be true to him. And you know what? God expects us to be true to him. Listen, my wife expects me to be perfect before her and not chase after somebody else. Right? Husbands, don't you think your wife expects that? Husbands, don't you expect that out of your wife to be perfect unto you? Okay? Listen to me. The world today, good night. They're worse than an old pack of dogs, just going after everybody everywhere. And everything is all right to do. And listen to me today. God wants us to be true to him. Why should we be true to God? Because we love him enough to do that. We love him enough to do it. God's people were to be good representatives of their holy and almighty God. And you know what? God drove out those people before his people even got into the land. And those wicked pagan people, you know what they did? They feared the Lord and what God could do because they saw God working against their sin. And they thought, boy, these people would be the same way. And then what did they do? They joined right up with them. They yoked in. Listen, our love and our devotion unto God should not be based upon convenience. It should not be based upon acceptability by the world. But our love and devotion unto God should be based upon our love and our devotion for the one who has saved us, for the one who loved us and gave himself for us. That's what our love should be built upon. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I helped deliver both of my children. Stephen, boy, we all but had to get a catcher's mitt for him. The doctor wasn't even there. The nurse that came in and checked Lisa said, yeah, baby, it's time. We got to get you down the hallway. And she just grabbed this little resident. He said, I've never done this before. She said, suit up. You're going to learn. And he did. But you know what? I watched my wife go through childbirth. And but I'm going to tell you what, it made me love her more than I ever loved her before. When I saw what she did, what she had to go through so that we might have that little child. And you know what? The first thing after that little baby was born, she forgot about the pains and she forgot about all the agony. And she just held that little baby up there on her breast and she just loved it. And we kept going back and forth. Who's it look like? Who does she look like? Oh, she's sweet like me. Yeah. Gets her good looks from her mama and gets her brains from her daddy. Amen. That's good. Hey, listen. God expects us to love him enough to stay true to him in all that we do. That is God's expectation. That was his expectation for the Jewish people. That was his and is today his expectation for you and for me as his bride, as his born-again children. Listen, we are to put those things away from us. I don't have time to read it all this morning, but in Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you'll go back this week and look at this, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 25, God told the children of Israel, there in verse number 5, he said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And if you go down to verse number 6, he says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be where? In your back pocket? On the nightstand beside your coffee mug? on the kitchen table behind your favorite cookbook. No. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. We're to love God from our heart. If I tell my wife I love her, I'll tell her I love her with all my heart. And that's what makes the difference. And in the verses that follows, he tells them all kinds of things. Verses 7 through 9, he reminds them of their responsibility to share that love and that devotion with the next generation so that they would never forget what God had done for them. And then beginning there in verse number 10, he said, "And it shall be that when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou buildest not, and or fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full," listen to what he said, "then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Folks, never forget what God has done for you. Don't go back to the old things of the world. God said, "Folks, I love you. I brought you out so that I might bring you in. Now don't forget what I've done for you." And in verses 20 through 25, he says this, "And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Daddy, why we got to go to church on Sunday? Daddy, why can't we sit back home and watch Lawrence Welk or something on Sunday night TV instead of going to church on Sunday night? Why do I have to go to church on Wednesday? I'm tired. I want to play outside." I've heard that. "I'm tired. I want to play outside." Okay? I've heard that. You may have heard it too, just didn't listen to it. Listen, when your children ask you, "Why do you do these things?" we need to remind them what God did for us and why we do those things. Listen to what he said, "Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt and upon Pharaoh and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us." Folks, how we choose to live for God or not live for God will affect the next generation. If we choose to forget all that God has done for us, the next generation will never know. That's where we're at in our world today. We had a generation that knew the blessings of God. Then we came up on a generation that knew about those blessings, but they didn't know the Lord. And now we got a generation of kids coming up that know nothing of God. Why? Because we forgot what God has given and done for us. Don't ever forget what God has done. We'll finish up the lesson next week, and we'll start with the promised prophet. Not going to be able to get it all in today, but let's just pray. Father, I love you today. And Lord, I want these lessons to be a help to your people. God, help us to never forget where you brought us from and what you've done for us. And Lord, that we are your people. Even as the Jews were your promised people, your chosen people, God, they're special to you. And yet, Lord, they turned from serving you and went the ways of the world. God, help us as children of the King today not to choose to do things wrong, especially when we know it's wrong. God, please make us witnesses for you. And Lord, if there be anyone listening to the sound of my voice today that does not know you as their Savior, please, Lord, convict their heart, show them their need of a Savior, and help them to come unto you today. And Lord, we'll thank you, God, for what you do. We love you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for coming. We'll see you next Sunday.